All right, I'm proceeding a little more rapidly now because I'm taking a little more time than I had expected. But anyway, number 11, be more ceremonious. I'm not referring here, when I use this word ceremonious, I'm not referring to religious ceremonies or religious rituals. I'm thinking more in terms of social ceremonies. I'll give you an example. For instance, you may have a new chairman. The old chairman may resign, you may get a new one. It would be a good idea if there was a sort of ceremony for installing your new chairman. To mark that particular event as having a very definite and special significance. Perhaps some of you do this already. You should invest the occasion with a bit of, well, I was always going to say glamour, if the word is not too hackneyed or misused. So if you do things ceremoniously, it sort of underlines the significance. It introduces an aesthetic and even a sort of archetypal element into the whole situation. It's not just some sort of official or business arrangement. A chairman, just to carry on a bit about this particular example, a chairman is a very important person. A chairman is not just someone who presides at council meetings of the centre. A chairman is a sort of focal point for the whole of that particular new FWBO. He has a spiritual relationship with the FWBO, a spiritual relationship with every person within the mandala, which his FWBO represents. So it's a very important and even a very solemn occasion. It's not like changing the chairman of a business firm, even a very big business firm. So let it be underlined with a bit of ceremony. And then things like welcoming people back from Guhyaloka or Tralaloka after they've been ordained. Let it be done, as it were, ceremonially. I did hear of a case where, not so long ago, someone newly ordained came back to his community, and though they knew that he was to arrive, there was nobody there to welcome him, not a single person. And that's really, really quite unfortunate. I know that usually people are welcomed back, when they've been ordained. But let it be done perhaps on an even grander scale and more ceremonially. And also connected with this, better manners. Now, I know that lots of us think manners are old-fashioned, middle-class things. But let's look at manners in a more sort of aesthetic way, doing things elegantly, doing them beautifully. I must say, frankly, sometimes I'm quite embarrassed by the bad manners, the uncouth manners, even of older members. I'm not speaking about literals and friends now. They seem to have no sort of social savoir-faire sometimes. And I've noticed it especially when I'm being introduced somewhere, not always by the chairman. And I was very pleased, really, today with the way I was introduced by the chairman of my talk on this occasion. It was very beautifully done. But it's not always done like that. Sometimes someone sort of stumbles up. He said, Bunty's going to give a talk. What's he going to talk about? It's really awful, and I really cringe. And, maybe it's in a sense not quite so bad, when it happens within the FWBO, within your, we can, as it were, understand and forgive one. But what about the outside public? Supposing that people from the outside world, what on earth will they think of us? It's not a question of being formal in the negative sense, but of doing things correctly and mindfully and gracefully with a certain elegance. And also speaking clearly and distinctly. And here again I must really congratulate Singha Devi on a beautiful enunciation. I appreciate things like that, and I think we should pay more attention to things like that. It also is a matter of our own self-respect, and also it creates a very pleasing impression on those who are listening to us. Perhaps we should, if we do happen to speak on some occasion, listen to the tape of our own talk and make a few notes, and ask our friends what they thought of us. Were there too many hums and ha's, and too many uncomfortable pauses, or did we slur certain words? Did we even get our facts wrong? So yes, manners are also important. Manners in the sense that I define. Here there's a particular mitya-ditti, or wrong view that I should mention. It's the mitya-ditti of spontaneity, or pseudo-spontaneity. You've got to be spontaneous, huh? You've got to be yourself. Huh? Well, if yourself is an untidy, uncouth, unorganized self, why should you be it? Why should you inflict it on other people? You know, keep it to yourself. Don't accept that sort of self. It's not worth accepting. Reject it and get a new one. It'll be better, you know, for everybody concerned. Eh? So, you know, don't let's have a clumsy, uncouth, sort of movement. Eh? It's very important when new people come to centres to have a proper way of welcoming them and speaking to them. Eh? Not just sort of sidling up to them and say, yeah, where you come from? Yeah. Not that sort of thing. I know it happens sometimes, or worse still, ignoring them while you have a chat with a friend. Eh? So we must be very conscious of our manners, our customs, our behaviour, the degree of ceremoniousness which is appropriate to the occasion. Our Indian friends are so good at this sort of thing. Sometimes, of course, they go over the top, but I'd rather that they did that than that what I'm called ceremoniousness, and it should be neglected. Kamitra sometimes used to say to me at the end of meetings, when I'd received about 40, 50, 60 garlands, he said, come on, Bhante, you can just offer the rest on your chair, you don't have to stay. But I always made a point of staying, because there was so much devotion on the part of the people who were given, even though I was tired, and even though perhaps, yes, I would have liked a cup of tea, and maybe I was sitting on a very uncomfortable seat, or you're squatting on the floor for about 3 hours. But I'd always say, well, no, let them finish. I could see what it meant to them. So even if ceremoniousness goes over the top a bit, which is unlikely to do in England anyway, don't let us mind.